John chapter 8, verse 24. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Pretty serious statement. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Let's ask God to help us tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I thank you, Lord, because of who you are. God, I'm thankful for your name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue confess to things in heaven, to things in earth, and things beneath the earth. God, I thank you, Lord, that we can glorify your name in the name of Jesus Christ. We worship and praise you, Lord God. Praise God, praise God. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Praise God. You can be seated. This passage of scripture that we read from here tonight, amen, it really does not have its beginning in John chapter 8 and verse 24. If you'll notice in your Bible, Jesus speaking here, it says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am. That word he, if you'll notice, is italicized, and it shows that from the original translation, this word he was added by the translators to make the English language flow. And so Jesus said here in the original, he said, for if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. These Jewish people that most of whom wrote the word of God, they are monotheistic. They are one God. They do not believe in a multiplicity of gods. They are one God worshipers. Praise God. And thank God that my God, amen, also is a one God. Amen. He is not plurality of gods. He's not two gods, he is one God. Amen. Thank God. Thank God there's only one. Amen. But in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, Moses said unto God, these people were slaves. These people had been in bondage for a long time, 400 years, when they finally came out of Egypt. And they were in bondage, and God was preparing a man. And I don't want to get sidetracked, but I believe that God will always have a church until he takes it out of here in the rapture of the church. I almost preached on the rapture of the church tonight. And but I was kind of struggling between this message and preaching on the rapture and heaven, amen, the coming of the Lord. And I was standing there, trying to decide what to preach, and I got to looking at those notes. Those notes came into focus on that blackboard and chalkboard over there, and I thought, well, I guess that's my confirmation. Praise God. Amen. And so we're just going to talk about the oneness of God tonight, in Jesus' name, baptism. Amen. This doctrine is what the church is founded upon. Amen. Jesus said to Peter, he said, upon this rock, upon the revelation of who I am, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Thank God for the church. Thank God that hell will not stop the church. The church will go forward. Amen. The church will roll on. The church has always been, and it always will be. Amen. There's always been a people of God. Amen. You can put it in the lion's den and the lions can't eat it. You can put it in the fire and the fire cannot burn it. Amen. The dark ages may have tried to stop it. Amen. But they still couldn't stop infilling of the Holy Ghost, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and Jesus' name baptism. Oh, yes, I believe there's always been people, amen, that receive the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. There's a man by the name of Wiser. He goes to Brother Chalfin's church. And I don't know if you've ever read any of his books or not. He's a very learned man. But he wrote a book on the Puritans and the Quakers of the early... have you read that book? And he has a lot of documentation of how that they hated the Quakers because they baptized in Jesus' name. I think I got that right. Amen. Was it the Puritans that hated the Quakers? I think it was. It's been a while since I read the book. Amen. And but these people, there's always been a church. I said there's always been a church. Amen. I'm not just talking about religion. I'm not just talking about those that that would baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or those that would say that you can believe anyway and be saved. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Amen. And so don't worry, I'm going somewhere here. And Moses, God told him, he said, look, Moses, the burning bush should happen. Amen. God called Moses and he said, look, he said, you're going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Amen. You're going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. They're not going to stay in the condition of slaves any longer. They're going to come out and be the people of God. And so we find that Moses was trying to get out of getting out of the call that God put him in and put upon him. And he said, okay. He said, so I can't speak very good, so who am I supposed to have help me? And he said, well, your brother Aaron's going to help you. And he said, well, who am I going to tell? How am I going to tell Pharaoh who sent me? And God told him in verse 13, Moses said to God, he said, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And so God gave Moses a name to tell Pharaoh. And we know the story how that Moses, he went before Pharaoh and he said, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, well, who is your God? And Moses said, he's the I am. The I am that I am has said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, psh, get out of here. And Moses took the rod that was in his hand. You just have to bear with me here a little bit tonight. I'm going somewhere. And he threw the rod on the ground and the rod became a snake. He had a little trick up his sleeve. And he said, I'm going to show them who I am by you throwing that snake on the ground. And Pharaoh's magicians, Jannies and Jambres, they said, well, we can do the same thing. And they threw their rods on the ground and their rods became a slithering snake. And Moses, all of a sudden, as he stood there, and maybe his eyes were big, maybe his breath was coming in short breaths, and all of a sudden that snake of his gobbled up the other two snakes, the first Pac-Man. And then it was Jannies and Jambres' turn to get big-eyed. They said, wow, that guy's snake just ate our snakes. And Moses reached down like God had already trained him to pick that snake up by the tail, and the snake became a rod again. And all of a sudden, he had their attention. No, that wasn't salvation. No, that's not what God planned long term for Moses to do, is go throw a rod on the ground. But he wanted those people to know that he was God. Amen. And he wanted the people of God to know that he was God. And all of a sudden, the I am became the watchword, became the family word around the house. Did you see what the I am has done in Egypt? And all of a sudden, God began to put plagues upon Egypt. And Pharaoh and the people of God were exempt from the plagues. Until God said, okay, Moses, this is going to be the last plague. This will be the 10th plague. And he said, this is how it's going to roll out, and this is what's going to happen. And this is the criteria, and this is what you have to do in order to be saved, in order to protect your firstborn sons. He said, you're going to kill a lamb, and you're going to take the blood, you're going to roast the lamb with fire, and you're going to eat it. But you're going to take the blood and put it across the top of the door and on the side posts of the door so that when the death angel passes over, that I'll pass over you. And you'll be saved from the death, the plague of death that is coming to Egypt. And that night, God again revealed himself as the God of deliverance, as well as the God of death. Can I preach to you for just a minute here tonight? Amen, that my God that I serve, amen, his name is not just whatever name you want to affix to him. Amen, my God is Jesus Christ. Amen, that when I call upon that name, there is healing. When we call upon that name of Jesus, Mother, worse, there is restoration of life. Amen. That God brings us through. Hey, I'm here to tell you that the name of Jesus, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. You can be seated. And so we find that this great I am was the God of the Old Testament. Right. He had many names. And I could take much time tonight and just go down through all the names of God that were given to him in the Old Testament. There was Jehovah Jireh. There was Jehovah Rapha. There was Jehovah Shalom. The Jehovah Shammah. Amen. There was Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Rapha. There was all of these had very significant the names that were given to God. These were names that were given up. Amen. When people needed God for a specific time. Can I tell you tonight? Amen. That the God that we serve, he's not a God that just sets upon heaven, amen, as his throne, and he uses earth as a footstool, amen, but he's a God, amen, that when we call upon his name, he hears our prayer. Oh, come on, somebody, I want to ask you, have you tried calling on the name of Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. Have you tried calling upon that name that is above every name? Amen. That when you say, Jesus, I need you. Amen. That he hears your prayer. Amen. We have to call upon the name of Jesus. Amen. There's only one saving name. There's no other name that you can be saved by. I just quoted Acts chapter 4, verse 12. That name saves. The name of Jesus, amen, saves us. When we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Amen. There's a lot of religions that baptize because of what Matthew chapter 28 and 19 says, but they never fully receive the revelation of what Matthew 28, 19 really says. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. And I think this is on further down in my notes, but since we're here already, we'll just preach on it a minute. Amen. Matthew chapter 28. And let me tell you something about baptism. is these men did not write about baptism. And we're going to go through all the accounts of this verse of Scripture, this passage of Scripture. But these men did not talk and write about baptism because it was an optional subject and it was an optional. No. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5, he said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. He that is born of the flesh, amen, is flesh. But he that is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You have to be born again. You can't get around it. Amen. Matthew 28 and 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Man, we got a problem. I've studied this out extensively. And if you study out the definition of Trinity, is that there's three co-equal, co-existing, co-eternal people in heaven. And Jesus just blew it all up right here. And he said, all power is given unto me. And so we got a problem. Then he said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, let's go back to 19. What is the name of the Father? If you go to John chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. I am come in my Father's name. Notice that word, that two words there at the very first of this verse. He said, I am. And if you pay attention when you're studying about one God in the New Testament, there are so many references to the great I am of the Old Testament. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. And so what is the name of the Father? It is Jesus Christ. He said, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Now, we're in the time of year where nobody has trouble with the name of the Son. Matthew 1 and verse 21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But you can't stop with verse 21. And all this was done that it might fulfill, amen, the prophecy, amen, concerning Jesus Christ. What does it say in verse 22? Put verse 22 on the board. Amen. In verse 23 says, amen, and she shall bring forth, amen, a son, and shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which being interpreted is who? God with us. It's God with us. Hey, it's not the second person. It's God with us. Isaiah chapter 9 and 6, it says, she shall bring forth a son. I'm sorry. Amen. Isaiah 9 and 6. Amen. Help me out, somebody. For unto us a child is born, forgive me, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Need to look at my notes. I'm getting out of order here.
John chapter 10, verse 25.
Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. John chapter 14, verse 26, you say, well, what's the name of the Holy Ghost? Glad you asked. John 14, 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Praise God. Amen. And so when you read Matthew 28, 19, you can't just say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You have to understand who the Father is. What's the name of the Father? What's the name of the Son? And what's the name of the Holy Ghost? Now, let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 16. We're going to read the next apostle's recollection of what Jesus commanded. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. The Great Commission, and he said, go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Listen to this. In my name. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Amen. Everyone turn to Luke chapter 24. Amen. We find the apostle, amen, Luke, in Luke chapter 24, verse 46, it says, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins, how do we get remission of sins? We get it through water baptism. Amen. You cannot get remission of sins any other way than by being plunged under water in the name of Jesus Christ. The word baptism, amen, comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to plunge under. Well, thank God for water baptism in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. I've seen people that have come to Apostolic Faith Tabernacle in Hutchinson. They've been baptized every way you can think of. Amen. But when they get baptized in the name of Jesus, amen, in water, amen, and they are buried with him in baptism, amen, their whole life is changed because their sins are washed away. Oh, hallelujah. When you get baptized, your sins are remitted. Amen. I'm trying to teach this tonight, but I'm having a hard time. Praise God. Amen. I get excited about water baptism. Amen. What's so awesome, amen, is baptism is the answer of a good conscience towards God. It says, a like figure whereunto even baptism does now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience. Amen. We're starting to baptize prisoners again in the prison. Amen. And they come up out of the water. And they are, a lot of times they're talking in tongues as they come up out of the water. But when they say, thank God my sins are washed away. Oh yeah, they're still going to. We tell them, hey, we're not here to get you out of prison. We're here to save your soul. We're here to help you find salvation and know who Jesus Christ is. Amen. That's why it's the answer of a good conscience. Amen. If you've got things weighing on your mind, if you've got things from your past, you can't get rid of. You need to get baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, church, it's the only way. It's the saving name.
He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Praise God. Well, thank God for that name of Jesus. Thank God for that name. That's why when Peter got up and preached on the day of Pentecost, he was preaching along. Hey, man, he was saying, hey, this is that was prophesied of the prophet Joel. He said, in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Amen. People are going to be getting the Holy Ghost like crazy. Amen. When they get the Holy Ghost, they're going to talk in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And then he got up in verse 38 and he started preaching. He said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew was there. Luke was there. Mark was there. They all were there. And Matthew didn't pipe up and say, hey, whoa, wait a minute, Peter, you got that wrong. No, because he said, in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. Those apostles knew who the name, amen, belonged to. It was Jesus Christ. Amen. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name. No other name. You can't be saved by any other name. You can't be baptized in a man's name. My name won't save you. When you get the Holy Ghost in Augusta, you don't get Pastor Worth's salvation. You receive the Spirit of God. Hey, when you get the Holy Ghost, amen, we become the children of God. Amen. I got to be careful. I could go all over. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God. Everyone say God. God. Was manifest in the flesh. Boom. When those angels were singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. It wasn't because it was Christmas time. Oh, I like Christmas. I give presents. And I love looking at the lights. You know, I like all that. But that wasn't what it was about. They said, it's the Prince of Peace. And they were singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. That little baby laying there in that manger was God Almighty. Born unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now in Isaiah, let me see if I got this verse written down. I think I do. In Isaiah chapter 44, he said, beside me there is no Savior. We got a problem if God said beside me there's no Savior. And when the angels sang, or they told the shepherds, they said, in the city of David is going to be a Savior, born unto you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It wasn't another God. It was just simply they were saying, hey, this is what was prophesied. Amen. Now the incarnation, amen, the mighty God in Christ, amen. And you want to know why God robed himself in flesh and became a man? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. I'll show you. This is one of the number one reasons why he did it right here. Now, there's several, but this is the biggest reason right here. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read it to you, make sure I don't want to quote it wrong. Romans chapter 8, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in who? Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son, his own flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and this is what he did for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. God came down and became the man to show us that through the power of the Holy Ghost, we can overcome sin. We're not superhuman, amen, but with Christ living on the inside, amen, he said, I'm going to be in you, amen, the Holy Ghost is what gives you power to overcome, amen, don't be afraid to get the Holy Ghost, it'll make you an overcomer, amen, it'll give you power, amen, to conquer that which you couldn't do on your own, those things that you struggle with in your flesh, the Holy Ghost will give you the victory, the Holy Ghost will set you free. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for his Spirit. Amen. He said God was Paul wrote it, 1 Timothy 3:16. He said God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of the angels. God was seen of the angel. You say, well, the angels have been around God from the beginning. Well, wait a minute. What does John 4:24 say? It says, God is a spirit. The angels couldn't see God either. They worship God. They praise God. But God's invisible. He's a spirit. And so it says here, he was seen of angels. When did they see him? As soon as he came to earth. As soon as he was lying in that manger. When he was walking around as a boy. Hey, that's when they begin to see God. God was seen of the angels. Well, I can't see God. He's a spirit. Amen. But when we look upon him as Jesus Christ, amen, God manifest in the flesh, all of a sudden, amen, we know that God was walking around on this earth. Amen. He was God, amen, in the flesh. Amen. When you saw Jesus Christ, you were looking at God. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I hope I'm not losing anybody here tonight. Amen. John chapter 14. And this is where I almost took my text from to preach about heaven. Jesus said to him in verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. They're already there. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to the cross. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Excuse me. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. There's that I am jumping out at us again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. Listen to this. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Thomas was still tracking a little bit on another. He was on the sidetrack still. And he said, or Philip, he said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We'll be happy about it. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the invisible God. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Hey, I've come to preach to you tonight, amen, that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Amen. Thank God, amen, that he is also God. He stepped down. down from glory. Amen. He stepped down here on earth and said, okay, I'm going to come down here and show mankind that they can overcome through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, we read here Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, hear, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's only one. From the beginning, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Isaiah 44 and 24 says that he spread forth the heavens alone and he created the earth by himself. Well, praise God. Amen. Only one God created this whole world. Amen. And there's going to be one God that comes back and gets us. Amen. Thank God that he started it and he's going to end it. He said, I'm the beginning and I am the ending. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I am the first and I am the last. You see, God has revealed himself through time, through the ages. And he has been given names. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself here. But in the Old Testament, we talked about all the names that were given to God. And so in the New Testament, we find in Philippians chapter 2, if you turn there in your Bible. Amen. He said, Paul began to write to the church at Philippi. And he began to tell him, amen, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. And these passages of scripture that were written to the church. It was written to people who had already been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why I'm having trouble. I'm in Colossians. Praise God. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, amen, in verse 5, it said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. It doesn't matter what all the names that God had through the ages. Amen. The revealed name of God right now is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen, when you saw Jesus Christ, it was a glory to God. Amen, John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And what does it say? The Word was God. Verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld whose glory? We were beholding the glory of God. The name of Jesus is to the glory of God. Hallelujah. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father. Let me tell you something. If you read that verse of scripture in John chapter 3 and verse 16 in the King James Version, it says the only begotten Son of of God. They want to take away, when they take away the begotten, the born of God, they take away the deity of Jesus Christ. And I don't have time to go into all that tonight. But you remember that God, the Word, became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us. Now let's examine Psalms chapter 23 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 23 verse 1. David wrote, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." How many can quote this passage of scripture? A lot of us can. It's sad that a lot of times we only read it when we go to a funeral. They have it on the little handout. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." You know, all the, and we quote these verses of scripture, and we know them. But if we examine just this first verse, it says the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. This means Jehovah God. This means the self-sufficient God. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is very significant whenever they would take and put "the Lord is my shepherd." Whenever the writers would put this "Lord" in there, it's signifying, amen, that this is talking about the mighty God, amen, that had created them. But we go to John chapter 10, verse 9. We find Jesus speaking. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Notice verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Amen. It's just a simple revelation that Jesus wanted them to know, that the same shepherd, amen, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He said, "I am the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep." Oh, thank God that in the Old Testament, amen, Calvary was prophesied about. It says, hey, Isaiah 53 said he's going to be like a lamb before a shear. His dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgression. Thank God that he went to Calvary. John chapter 6, verse 34. They said unto him, "Lord, give us this bread." Jesus was talking about the bread in the Old Testament. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 34. Amen. We find that Jesus was talking to them and teaching them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread." In verse 32, "from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Listen to this. He said, "The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven," amen, "and giveth," he said, what does he say? "Giveth life unto the world." And when they heard this, they said, "Lord, evermore, give us this bread." And Jesus saith unto them, "I am the bread of life. Amen. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Amen. John chapter 7 verse 38. In that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and said, "He that is thirsty, he that hungers and thirsts after after righteousness, amen, shall be filled. Oh, I'm here to preach to you tonight that if you believe on Jesus, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, amen, that was not yet given, because Jesus wasn't glorified yet. He said, I'm going to give you bread from heaven. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. He said, I am that bread of life. John 10 and 30. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And the Jews immediately got the revelation. They weren't hung up on one in spirit and one in agreement. But they knew exactly that when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, that he was just simply saying, I am God. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus said, hey, many good works I've showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. I can just imagine on the inside, he was probably saddened because they were blinded. But he said, they got it. They got the revelation. John 18 and 4. And I'm trying to get down here. John 18 and 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they were desiring to kill Jesus. They were sick and tired of Jesus. They said, we got it. 3.5 years is enough. We're going to take care of him. They couldn't stand it. And he said, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. And as soon as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. It wasn't because there was some, Jesus didn't have, I'm sure he didn't say it with a forceful word from his mouth. It was just simply the revelation that when Jesus said, I am. If you turn there in your Bible, I'm reading off of iPad here. But John 18, if you read this, and they answered unto him, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. In the original, Jesus answered unto them, I am. I am. And Judas already had the revelation. He knew who Jesus was. Verse 6, again, they asked, as soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Verse 7, he said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth again. In verse 8, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If you notice that, he is italicized. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. And if you look on down further, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and he smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus, and Jesus said to people, put up your sword. And in another passage, Jesus picked up that man's ear right in front of him. Could you imagine that? Come up here. Come up here, brother. Are you Gavin or Garrett? Okay, I'll just get you guys mixed up. But if you can imagine, if I took a knife and chopped his ear off right here in front of everybody,
Not only would he bleed like a stuck hog, everybody would be mortified. And his ear would be laying on the ground. It'd start shriveling up from loss of blood. And Jesus reached down on the ground and put that ear back on the side of that man's head. And he was made completely whole. And they still took him to the cross and crucified him. Now, who could do that besides God? Thank you. I'm just simply trying to point out to you tonight is that Jesus Christ is God. Trying to help you get the revelation. If you don't have the revelation yet, you need to start praying, God, I need the revelation of who you are. You know, it just takes simple obedience to be baptized in Jesus' name. But in order to live for God long term, you've got to know who he is. You cannot just go through your walk with God without the revelation, because Jesus Christ said, upon this foundation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Jesus said, if you don't build upon the rock, the rain's going to come, the storm's going to come, the wind's going to blow. And if you're not founded upon the rock, Christ Jesus, are you hearing me tonight? You're going to be that house that's on the sand that falls flat. That's why we've got to get the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. You say, what is it about you oneness people? What is it you're always talking about the name of Jesus Christ? Why is it? It's because Jesus said, this is how I'm going to build my church. This is how you grow spiritually. This is how your spiritual man is built up. And so when we get that revelation, we get upon a sure foundation. We get upon that foundation. Hey, man, I can remember many times as a young person, hey, man, and hearing my pastor preach, you've got to get the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And I can remember the day in chapel when Grandma Elder said, hey, man, tell me what your verse of scripture is that you got the revelation. I stood up and I said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, as the Word became flesh. And I remember the revelation that day that Jesus Christ is God. And I got on a foundation. Hey, all you young people, all you middle-aged people, all you that are older, get on the foundation. Amen. Don't depend upon what God, the world says. Depend upon what God has said. Get the revelation. Get the revelation. This revelation, amen, is not just given to anybody, but is given to the people of God. Amen. I know that there's people that have received the revelation and have walked away from it. But I contend that there's more that are still on the rock than those that walk away from it. Praise the Lord. Upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this name of Jesus Christ. I've got a lot more that I could preach here tonight. But I want to ask you, do you have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is? He is the mighty God. If we could stand tonight. I've preached long enough. I've taught and preached long enough. I want to ask you tonight, are you upon that foundation? Sister Reed, if you'd come. Are you ready to meet God? Have you been to Jesus for the saving power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins? And have you received the Holy Ghost? I know this is Wednesday night. It's probably a little different than you've ever heard me preach before.
But you know something? You still got to have that revelation. You still must be baptized. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And I want to invite you tonight. This altar, amen, is open. If you want to pray, if you need the Holy Ghost, if you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Wurst will, however he works it, he'll baptize you in Jesus' name. Amen. If we could all come, if we could all gather in for just a little while here tonight, amen, let's lift up our hands and worship God. I want everybody to have an opportunity to love the Lord, to talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.